I talk to my kids 1 to 10 times a week. And often, when my children call, they may have a question or things that are bothering them, or a decision that they've got to make, and as soon as the conversation starts, and I know that we're going to be talking about something that they've got to do, or they want to do, or they're questioning about doing, and my mind is immediately drawn to ask the Lord, help me. Lord, what we're about to talk about, help me. Help me to speak with some wisdom. Lord, give me a word to know what to say. And I'm very, very careful. I want to be very careful when I give somebody some advice. Because I don't know the mind of the Lord for someone else. I don't know. But I do know this. The Lord has given us His Word. And whenever we have a word from the Lord, we have some confidence there. I don't want to tell somebody the wrong thing, but I don't want to not tell them something when I should. I want to be truthful. I entitled this message, A Word from an Old Man. And I took that title from verse 25. Psalm 37:25. David said, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So David was speaking under the inspiration of God, and he was speaking from experience. The Lord had taught him some things. A man, a woman, learned some things, a believing man, woman. Age has some heartaches with it. As we get older, we start to feel the pain and the aches and the struggles of sin in our body. But with those aches come some things that the Lord's taught us. And when you can speak from experience, I told someone one time, if somebody comes and they say, you know, I'm going through this trial, well, if I've never been there, I can't really say I know how you feel. But if it's something that I've gone through, you know, Bob, this is right. And if you've experienced it, and somebody said, I've lost a loved one, I understand. Somebody says, doctor said I've got this physical problem, I understand. Then you can speak from experience. If somebody has been somewhere and I know that you have my best at heart, then I can say with some surety, I know how you feel. I had an incident years ago when I was in Louisiana, and I had a little construction business, and a man and his wife wanted me to do some work on their house, and the work that I was going to do had to do with putting a cover, a patio cover, and some walls. I was going to enclose a back porch. The slab was already there. And I went out and measured it and ordered everything and installed it. And walls were up, really nice room. And the first rain came, heavy, heavy rain, and in the outer left side, water was standing and gotten into the walls and stuff like that, and they called me. And I came out and looked at it and couldn't figure out. I got an engineer to come out and look at it. And he told me later, he said, "Marvin, here's the problem. Whoever put the slab in had that end was lower than it should have been. And it was holding water. And I fitted to it." And these people told me that they were going to make it good. And wise advice from the engineer, he told me, he said, "Here's what I would do." He said, "If I were you," he said, "the court normally looks with a frown at a contractor that looks like they're trying to get to a homeowner." He said, "My advice to you," he said, "they're in the wrong." He said, "You're right. But," he said, "I'm going to tell you this." He said, "It won't go well with you." He said, "Even if you win, you're going to lose because of your reputation." And he said, don't try to push it. He said, "Go ahead and just take the building down if you have to. Give them their money back if you have to. Just don't, he said, "don't push it." He said, "They'll hurt you." He said, "They'll badmouth you." 37:1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now listen, whether I'm talking to my kids or whether I'm talking to myself or to you, I'm going to tell you right now, as a believer, we're in this world. We're in this world. And we're not of it. There are people, by and large, in this world, and they do not have the same mindset as a believer. They don't think as a believer. It's for themselves only. And you are a stepping stone to their end. And the Lord has providentially ordered all things. You did not cross their path by accident. You just weren't just unlucky. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Your clients, those people that you work for, your boss, that seems as though that everything that he does is working against you, and you think, "I don't know how much longer I can take this." Fret not thyself because of evil doers. The Lord teaches us as we live in this world. I know some people try to separate themselves or separate their children, and you know, I'm telling you, the Lord has put us in this world. David said concerning being an old man that I just read about, he said, I've been young. I was young at one time. Now I'm old. And I know there's some things that I've seen, and I know this. David said, I'm an old man. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord has given us words to die by. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But we live by those words too. We live by that. I need his word to guide me and direct me. What do I do? When I'm crossed with people of this world and I feel as though I'm being mistreated and I'm just, you know, don't grieve or be angry at them because of their evil doings. That's what, don't fret, don't burn within. Don't let yourself just get all fired up and just, you know, boy, one of these days, buddy, don't fret. Don't envy these unbelievers that you have to deal with. They may seem to prosper while you scratch out a living. David said in Psalm 73, verse 3, he said, here's the Spirit of God that caused a man to be honest. 73:3, he said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There were no bands in their death. Their strength was firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And here a believer seems to struggle and struggle and struggle, and every time I seem to get just a little bit ahead, I look over here and I think, now it's gone. I'm going to have to spend that. I thought this month we were going to have enough to make it all the way to the end of the month. The wicked's dealings with a believer, they may be unfair, but don't fret. Don't fret feeling sorry for yourself. Now, these are words that the Lord has given us that we walk by. We walk by these words. Don't fret. Why? Well, it's in verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. This is the best they're ever going to have. Unless the Lord calls them out of darkness, all of their prosperity, all of the things, mess and stuff that they have accumulated, what they've done to you and how they've treated you, and they're going to be cut down. Pray for them. Pray for them. I know it's. I mean, we feel so defensive, and you know, I know how it is. But they're soon going to be, it's going to be over. God Almighty is going to judge them. Here's the way to not fret concerning the evildoers in the day of judgment. Would you trade places with them? In that day, when they stand before God, don't fret. Fret not. Because they're going to be cut down, and soon, the Scripture says. Here's the next word of advice. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. About a month ago, this is as good an illustration as I can think of right now. About a month and a half ago, we were down in Mexico. And when you go to Mexico, if you've ever been, there are certain things that you can do and there are certain things you can't do. There's certain things that you want to stay away from. There's certain places you don't want to go. And I really don't know where all those places are, and I don't know exactly what the right foods to eat. But when we go down there and we're with the groupers, and if Betty or Wenna or Cody, tells me. Now, I wouldn't eat that. I wouldn't trust that. Brother Walter has gotten to a point to where he tries things that I probably wouldn't try, you know, but that's Brother Walter. He's been down there. But if Betty or Winna or Cody tells me I wouldn't eat that, I'm not going to eat that. I wouldn't drink that. I'm not going to drink that. If they tell me, don't go here, I'm good with that. When we go out into the pueblos at night, I think to myself, I'm thrilled that I'm with them, because if anything were to happen, especially if the vehicle were to break down or something, you know why I feel confident? I trust them. I know this. They have my best at heart. I know this, that we're down there to visit with them, and they love us, and they're watching out for us. They don't want us to get in trouble. So I trust them. But the Lord, the one that has eternally loved his people, he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Listen to this. Chose us in him from before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was made sin. I am a sinner because of what I am. I'm sin. I commit sins because of what I am. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Trust in the Lord. Roll yourself upon him. He who orders all these things, he who orders the steps of his people. Trust in the Lord and do good. I know that in me there is, in myself, there dwelleth no good thing. I know that. But do you know the scripture tells us, commands us, trust in the Lord and do good. Listen to this. Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me tell you something that maybe I can say that might be harder for your pastor to say. Your pastor's desire is that you dwell together in unity. Let me tell you what he wants. He wants you to love one another. He wants you to have each other's back. You know, Brother Scott told me that one time. Bob, that was the sweetest thing. He said, Marvin, I've got your back. And he wasn't kidding. He was just, and I thought, oh, that means so much to me. I've got your back. Your pastor wants you to dwell together in unity. He wants you. So therefore, that it's good. Behold how good and how pleasant. It's so pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. That's the most, it's like you can breathe. You can take a deep breath and you think, oh, I'm so thankful. I thank God for the unity that we have here. So therefore, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Strive after that. If there's something that comes up, a problem, endeavor, endeavor, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Forgive one another. Don't cut each other off for a word. Listen. As brethren, we're going to dwell together forever. Be like Abraham told Lot when they had a little squabble, you know, over some grass. Shepherds were squabbling over grass. And Abraham told Lot, he said, we're brethren. Love one another. Psalm 119, 71. Here's another good thing. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So therefore, let me tell you, since it's good that I've been afflicted, nobody wants to hear a report from a doctor that's not a good report. Nobody wants to hear that. I wouldn't choose that for anything. But if that has been your lot, let me tell you what you will end up saying. I think I told you the first time I told Brother Scott, I learned so much from just sitting down and just listening to him. The best thing, just listen to him. A doctor had given me a report one day that I really didn't want to get. But here's Brother Scott's words. He said, you know, the worst part of it is just when you first hear about it. That's the worst part of it. And you know what? That proved to be true. And it's been so good that I've been afflicted that I could learn thy statutes. Learn that when God Almighty says that life is but a vapor, you know, that's what you think about. You think, you know what? This life is a vapor. It's just fading. So, therefore, give thanks for affliction. You will. You'll end up doing it. You will give thanks for the affliction. I mean, when you first hear about it, that's the worst part. But, you know, Psalm 92:1 said, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land of rest, in the land of mercy. So shalt thou dwell. Why? Because he's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now here's a promise to you that the Lord has been pleased to raise up, give you a new heart, put you under a faithful pastor, put you in a place where he's raised up the gospel. So shalt thou be fed. The Lord is going to feed his sheep through the preaching of a pastor that God raises up. He's going to preach the gospel to you. You're going to be fed. God's going to make sure you're fed. Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Here's the next word of advice. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself. You know, delighting in the Lord is something that is a miracle of God's grace, because man by nature, delight and hearing the gospel does not go together. Not by nature. Man tolerates. He may tolerate coming to a church service. He'll go through the motions. If he's wanting to impress someone, tolerance is as close as it gets. He can't wait to get out from under the hearing of the truth. But to delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight is from a new heart. A man loves his wife. He delights in his wife. He delights in her. May have a lot of acquaintances, a lot of, you know, friends, but for his wife or her husband, they delight in each other. They love being with each other, sharing each other's thoughts and affections. The unbeliever delights in lies. That's what Psalm 62:4 says. But God's people, they delight themselves in the Lord. They want to know Him. They want to know Him. They want to be taught concerning Him. When we come together, where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord said, I am in the midst of you. A believer delights in the Lord when he delights to meet together in public worship. Public worship is vital. I was going to say it's very important. It's more than very important. It's vital. We must. Whenever Gabe or any other pastor comes here, and he's here to study, and he's back in his study, and he's searching, and he's seeking the Lord for a message and stuff, there is a sense. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But there is something that is promised by the Lord concerning the body all made together. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There's a truth that is taught there. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, we'll just have like a little, we're not going to be meeting together with everyone else. We're going to just meet over somewhere. I'm telling you, public worship is vital. It's vital. This is what the Lord has raised up. He raises up a pastor. He said, I'm going to feed you with a pastor. I'll give you pastors after mine own heart. Delight yourself in His presence. Delight yourself in His word. Delight yourself in the communion of the Lord and in His provisions. The believer so delights in the Lord that if you ever find, let me ask you a quick question and I'll go to the next point. Delight thyself also in the Lord. If you had to move, if a believer had to move, go somewhere else, what is the first thing that you're going to consider before you have to make that move? Is there a place where I can meet with God's people? Delight yourself in the Lord. You seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The desires of thy heart. I want to know Him. I want to be found in Him. I want to be a peacemaker. Delight thyself. Here's the next. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. I want you to look at 2 Timothy 1:12. I heard Brother Henry. Brother Henry said that he got this from Mr. Spurgeon. And Mr. Spurgeon had said that this verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 1:12, this verse of Scripture, he said, was the one verse that was the greatest, most clear to him description of faith. This right here. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Here it is. Brother Henry said, this is it. For I know whom I have believed. Not what. Now, an unbeliever, when you ask them, what is your hope? Well, they're going to give you a what? I know that I'm a Christian because I was baptized. I walked down the aisle. I spoke in tongues. They're going to give you a what? He says, I know whom I have believed. It's faith in Christ. Then he said, and I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. A believer knows by faith in whom he has believed. And he is persuaded. He's convinced by a new heart, by the Spirit of God imparting life. I am persuaded. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which, and here's the third thing, I have committed unto him against that day. Life in Christ is evidenced by commitment. A believer is committed. He's committed. God's people, where the Lord raises up a body, you're committed to this. You're committed to this. You support. You support by your presence. You support by prayer. You support by your love. You support by giving. You support. This is where the Lord's raised up his word. Commit thy way unto the Lord. I told the folks and Katie the other day, I said, you know, commitment. I said, let me just give this a quick statement. You let a man tell his wife, honey, I want you to know that I am 99% committed to you. 99%. You know what? You're not committed at all. That's not commitment. Commitment, you give of yourself. You give your heart. And a believer struggles because he sees in him, oh, that I would be committed. I want to be. And I see the warrings within. I see the fightings and the struggles within. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to do that. I want to do that. And he shall bring, verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. Let me read you this. When it says, I want you to turn to Matthew 25. When he says right there, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Matthew 25, to me, gives as clear, Matthew 25, I'm going to start in verse 31, as clear an explanation of that. What he says is this, those that trust in him, those that delight in him, commit their way to him, they're going to be vindicated. They're going to be vindicated. The world hates them. They're in a world that the world hates. But God Almighty is going to vindicate them. What he's saying is, he's going to bring forth thy righteousness, that imputed righteousness. He's going to show the world who he is to you and who you are to him. That's what he's saying. He's going to bring forth thy righteousness. Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall gather them one from another. He shall separate them one from another. And as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, all right, now here's what he just said over in Psalm 37. He's going to bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, when a judge makes a judgment call, he hears all the evidence. And if the evidence points to this man is innocent, and that judge says, I'm going to give him a judgment right now, no charge. Justified. That's his judgment. He ruled in your favor. The Lord says, I'm going to bring forth thy righteousness. That is the righteousness imputed by the Lord Jesus Christ as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. I'm going to show heaven and earth and hell. I'm going to show heaven, earth, and hell. Then shall the king, in Matthew 25:34, say unto them on the right hand, when all the world stands before God, then shall he say to those on his right hand, you come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's going to bring your righteousness to light. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Back in Psalm 37, verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Verse 7. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. When the Lord rested on the seventh day from creation, was it because he was tired? No, he was done. He was done. When the Lord Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. You know what it was? It was finished. It was done. He ascended into heaven and now sits. That's how Isaiah saw him. He said, In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. We rest in the Lord. We rest from our labors. We're not trying to earn our righteousness before God. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our salvation. We've been saved by grace and by faith. He's taught us that. That's how we see it. That's how we know it. By faith, we know. Our faith didn't save us. By faith, by grace, we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. So we rest in the Lord, waiting patiently for him, fretting not ourselves because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then lastly, I'll stop with this. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This is a hard thing to do, because I'm telling you, we're all by nature, we're very defensive, we're very selfish. Cease from anger. Anger toward the wicked, anger toward your family, anger toward your brethren. Cease from anger against God's providence. James 1:19-20 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For, or because, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Getting mad at somebody is not going to make it right. That's what he said. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. That's always been a very trying. I've wondered about that. But you know, I think it has something to do with this. That I know that there's an anger that is not sin. I know that. The Lord said he was, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And I know that there's an anger, and I know God didn't sin. And we're commanded, be ye angry and sin not. But there's, I know that there's an anger that is zealous for the glory of God. I know that. I know there is. I know there is. I hate and I'm angry with what I see in myself. Oh, wretched man that I am. I have a brother that I love very much, and he has no heart for the gospel. He has no heart for the gospel. I'm angry at what I see sin has done to him, what it does to me and what it's done to him. And I love him. I love him. But when it comes to being angry at somebody for something that they've done, James 4:1, I'll just read this to you. Here's what the scripture says through James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You know, when I get mad at somebody, do you know really who's the problem? Me. The real cause of anger toward others is from the corruption of my old nature. James says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? That includes me. The problem is me. Whenever the wicked cross my path, and I get mad and I fret, the problem is within. I've got God's word as instruction for living. Fret not. Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Commit your way unto the Lord. Cease from anger. Lord, teach me these things for the glory of God and for my good. Amen.